What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dipped in Tone. I'm Rhett.
I'm Zach.
And it's a duo episode today, which I'm really happy about. You know, I love having guests on the show. We've had some incredible guests on the show, but it's good to just kind of get back to our roots, you know?
And we don't spend enough time talking to each other.
No, we really don't.
we really don't. Like, yeah. You've been so busy. I've been busy. We haven't had much time to like just chit chat like we used to.
Yeah. So today we're going to chit chat. And we have a little challenge that we're going to get into later in the show. Today, we're going to put together two rigs, each of us, so four rigs total. One is going to be a $1,000 rig. The second is going to be a $10,000 rig. And we're going to see what the differences are and how each of us would go about putting one of those rigs together. Now, we'll get into the details and the minutia a little bit later as we get into it, but that's what we're getting into today.
Should be very fun.
Yes. So what's new?
Man, since the last time we spoke, not a whole lot. Just gearing up for the summer, and I've been trying to, as you have seen, and hopefully whoever follows Mythos have seen, my YouTube channel. We're you know, just throwing content on there. The guitar mod videos are doing well, and we're gonna get back to like actually doing stuff about pedals. So just been trying to get a game plan for that. Looking into, you know, blogs are still a thing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, apparently, I don't know. According to SEO handbooks.
Huh.
So
in what way are they still a thing? Like, they're, people are still doing them full time or what?
Well, apparently that, I mean, it's a good place for like news and announcements, but also just a lot of the, like tips and tricks, like the DIY stuff, lessons, like all the learning that you would also do on YouTube is still very prevalent, like blogging for those sort of things. So we're going to try to start doing that. So just adding another thing onto the already gigantic pile of work we have to do. And we have birds that have flown into our HVAC. So that's fun. So I got to get a stick or something.
I mentioned the last episode, we did a big session a few weeks ago for Live to Tape. Then after that, we had a family vacation, went to the beach. And when we came back, we went down there to work on a video, Chris and I, actually a guitar mod video, where we're custom shopping a Squire Jazzmaster.
Ooh.
And, you know, I typically have my amp heads sitting on top of my Rode case, you know, and I had my two rock heads sitting up there for the session. That's what I was playing, you know, and I looked over there and there's a huge pile of bird shit on top of, like, right next to the two rock on top of my Rode case. Uh-huh. And we cannot figure out how there's no bird in the basement. At least I found it and I don't smell it if it's dead. And luckily it missed the head because it's my two rock is that suede, like the green suede. God, there is a little splatter on the back that I have to try and clean up. But dude, somehow, and it's a bit, I mean, it's, you know, not some little finch or something. It's a big pile of shit.
You got an owl in your basement?
Dude, I don't know. I legitimately don't know where it is, what it is, or how it got in. But yeah.
Huh. Well, that we heard just like a.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I was like, what? And Jeff was like, oh, yeah. I think there's a bird making a nest in our HVAC. I'm like, well, we'll turn that heater on. We'll get it out pretty quick.
It's going to smell real bad, and you're never going to get that smell out.
Ah, no, I can shut the door. That's Jeff's problem. Oh, man.
All right, so before we move into the rig build thing, I want your take on this. So got a link to an article here. Antigua is back in the USA. Fender's divisive finish has been revived for four limited edition Squire 70s classic vibe models, including the first ever Antigua Bass 6. So if you haven't seen this, Fender or Squire is bringing back the Antigua finish, and they're doing a Bass 6, which is rad. They're doing a Strat with black knobs, black pickup covers. They're doing a Tele Custom with a wide range neck humbucker. And I think my favorite thing in the lineup is an Antigua P Bass. So, what do you think about this?
You know, I think Antigua, before it, like when it hasn't aged, because you sent me this article and I was looking at the picture and it looks okay. I don't know. I don't like it. It just looks like moldy white bread or something. like the crust has gone all moldy. I don't get it. I don't like it.
I love the Antigua finish, man. Which, shocker, you and I have completely different opinions on something guitar related. But I genuinely think it's such a cool finish. When, I mean, and they started these in the late 60s. When was the first Antigua? It was after CBS, right? It was CBS era.
Yeah, I feel like it was the early 70s when the Antigua stuff started. But I don't know. And I admittedly, like I said, most of the ones I've seen have been old. And like, you know, the body, the nitro, or I don't know if they were even nitro, whatever the finish was, it yellowed in a different way than the pickguard. And so it was way too many colors. And they remind, you remember when Dan Electro would do like those really small perimeter bursts and they would have like cream with like blue and stuff?
Yeah.
It just reminds me of that. And I just think all those look really stupid.
I also think those look stupid, but this is just different. And for those of you that are listening and you don't know what Antigua is, it's basically picture, should we call it beige or taupe or sand?
It's
color
cream.
Cream. But it's more brown than cream. It's like if you made coffee for someone that absolutely hates coffee and they just dumped a bunch of shit in it, like more cream than coffee. It's kind of that base
super
color.
Latte.
Yeah. And then, but it's got a burst of a darker grayish brown around the perimeter, and the perimeter of the pickguards are also sprayed in the same burst. So you get this double burst effect, which I think is really cool. I love the Squire stuff. We've talked about it a lot. The Classic Vibe series, I think, is some of the best value for money out there of new electric guitars that you can buy today. I mean, I like what Squire and Epiphone are doing, but particularly that Squire, the Affinity series and the Classic Vibe series are so good.
Man, you know, I got burned on some Classic Vibes, and so I have a hard time coming back around to it.
How are you burned on them?
Well, I bought some from Fender, or Squire directly, that had not gone through any QC process that a store normally gives. And the neck, I got a Tele and a Strat, and the neck pocket on the Telecaster was not level. And so the neck was sitting crooked, and I'm like, I can't get the action on this thing right. And I looked down the neck, I'm like, this neck's twisted. And then I started looking, I looked at the body towards the headstock of the neck, and I was like, it's not twisted. The neck pocket is crooked.
Huh.
So I had to shim it sideways to get it playable.
Weird.
And then the Strat I got was fine. It was altogether fine. It just kind of, it just did nothing. It had
I just think they're good guitars for, you know, a few different use cases. Like maybe, I think they're good first guitars for people. It's better than like the base model, you know, $99 Strat that you're going to get.
Oh yeah,
which is what a lot of people, myself included, started on. They're a worthy step up from that. They're good platforms for modification. I mean, that's what we just did. The Jazzmaster we just modded is a not an Affinity series. Yeah, it is an Affinity series. Affinity? Jazzmaster.
Does it have like a tremolo and stuff?
Yeah.
Does everything fit?
Yeah, dude. Everything. So that's the thing is. Hopefully, I think by the time this drops, the video will be out, but you can see it over on my channel. So I got the Fender Panorama Tremolo. It literally dropped right in, like took six screws out, put those same six screws back in. What the hell is that? What?
For those listening, what? Brett just celebrated.
Did you see New Year's Eve? How did I do that?
I don't know. You get the thumbs up things.
How do you turn that off? I don't know. Jesus.
I kind of love it.
Okay. Well,
being honest.
So, okay. So we did that. I put some, Seymour Duncan Affinity or sorry. Antiquity.
Getting my
names messed up here.
Brain fart.
Put some Antiquities in. We did a new wiring harness. That was the biggest upgrade, dude. Like I think the biggest shortcoming of a lot of the Squire stuff is the stock wiring. Cause they're using those small Chinese pots. The wiring is like the cheap plastic wire. It's all over the place. It's kind of a rat's nest in there, which I mean, they're building that guitar to a price point. So I understand it. I think it's a company called 920D that makes a kit that just drops straight in CTS pots, Switchcraft jacks and output jack, and switches. And yeah, man, everything literally dropped right in. Stock pickguard. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like some stuff gets a little funny because the import, you know, sizes, metric versus standard and all those things. But the routing of like the tremolo systems and stuff. Those are the things that concern me. Because on like a Strat, an import Strat, the holes that mount to the body are not the same
right.
on an American. So you have to be really careful. Otherwise, they just you're sunk. So.
Yeah, I did do – like I kept the stock bridge and we just changed the saddles. We went with GrafTech saddles.
Okay.
But the bridge itself is stock because I do know that that can be an issue. I was really worried about the tremolo not fitting, but dude, it was just a direct swap.
It doesn't fit. Just do, let's grab a chisel and a hammer and
dude, just make it fit.
Clunk,
you know?
Clunk, clunk.
A little percussive persuasion, get in there. So yeah, man, I think this is cool though. I'm glad to see, I think this is a Chicago Music Exchange exclusive, a CME exclusive. There's also another European dealer that they're exclusive. So if you're overseas, it looks like you can just get them from one shop. I just think it's cool, man. I like this, you know, my shill is going to be an Epiphone cool vintage reissue thing that I got recently. I like that Squire and Epiphone, these more entry-level brands, are doing these sort of vintage-focused, cool, funky reissue things. I think it's rad.
Yeah, I think those things are like where those brands have the most value because not only, you know, you can get your Strats and Tellys, but you can get, you know, Strats and Tellys no problem anywhere. But like getting things that are funky and different. Like I like that Epiphone is stretching a little bit with doing these different reissues.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anywho, nice.
Shall we get into the rig build?
We shall start. So Gabe Bergman, is that his last name?
Oh, yeah.
He suggested over on Instagram. I always feel weird about it. I always feel like I'll mispronounce people's name. that one's pretty safe, but I don't know. He suggested that we do a rig in a rig challenge where we each try to build a rig in various budgets. He had some dollar values that are a little closer together, which I think that actually is a little harder. So we're going to try building a rig for either $1,000 or $10,000 and shoot out these rigs against each other.
Yeah. So this is going to be a thought exercise, obviously, because we don't have the gear with us. If someone wants to drop $22,000 on a sponsorship for the show and buy us all the gear that we are about to list, I mean, by all means, links in the description if you want to get in touch.
sure.
So, yeah, that'd be an interesting shootout. So, yeah, a couple parameters here. We've got a $1,000 rig, $10,000 rig. The rigs have to be at least a guitar, some kind of amp or amp sim, some kind of giggable, something that will give stage volume. So you can't just do like a floor modeler. It has to have some kind of speaker. Minimum one overdrive or fuzz pedal, some kind of drive situation. We're not going to worry about pedal boards. We're not going to worry about power supplies and all that kind of stuff because you could just throw this on the floor with a battery depending on what pedal you've got.
We're not counting cables or any of that.
Yeah, we're not doing any of that stuff.
Assuming that you have all those things.
Yeah, yeah. As everyone does, they buy all the ancillary stuff first and then they go shopping for rigs.
Right.
So, all right. How do we want to do this? We're going to be on Reverb. We are going to be able to do used and new. So, because I think trying to do everything new for $1,000, A, is not realistic and B, is just going to be kind of challenging to get something that's giggable. And that's the thing. This needs to be like reliable and giggable. We're not going for the absolute bare bones cheapest thing we can get. It's a realistic rig that you and I both would feel good about taking to a show and actually using.
Okay, the only thing that I didn't think of, seeing as we're going to use Reverb, can we just assume that even if it says local pickup, it's local to us and we could just get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And by the way, Reverb's not sponsoring today's episode. We're just using it because it's a good place to see all the stuff in one spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So
should we start with a guitar
or
why don't you go first? What are you going to, so $1,000 rig, let's start with a guitar. We'll both go guitar first.
Okay. Let me get away. Cause if I pull up my Reverb account, everyone's going to see all the stuff I've been looking at buying and they're going to go, look at this guy. It's mainly just, vintage PAFs. Cause I'm a nut. Okay. So we're going to be sharing a couple different screens here to make this work. But for the guitar, I'm thinking Bada Boom. Now, we're not counting shipping price.
Okay.
So basically $400 redos here.
Right? Nice.
The Epiphone Wilshire, two P90s. These guitars are great. They have really good pickups. I like the pots. I like playing them. I think these are great guitars. And for me, like, I could do any gig anywhere with that. So I'm thinking used Epiphone Wilshire. This one in particular is in black. It's real handsome, striking.
I like the Wilshire because it's something you don't see all the time, but they're right. Ripper guitars. The two P90s are great. You've got me rethinking my whole situation here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's good. That's good because I think my initial thing is going to be a little too boring, but boring's not bad.
Boring isn't bad, but I'm thinking, let's have fun. You know, this is going to be your rig, right? So for the amp, I was thinking the AC15. Custom Classic. Now, for a lot of times, I just dumped all over, for a long time, I dumped all over the Vox reissue amps. And I think I was a little unjust.
I mean, were you though? Like, what era of reissue? Because that's the thing. They've been reissued so many times.
Well, the Chinese reissues of the most recent era. So, because I traded and got an AC30, I traded a cabinet for it, and it's great. It sounds really good, and you know, that would be a little outside the budget. But this AC15, the CC1, $380. So I'm gonna pull up my calculator so we can know exactly how much I can spend on on a couple of affordable pedals. $399 plus $380, so $779. But the Custom Classic AC15, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the AC15. I think it's a little small sounding, but it is giggable. It's loud enough.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like this, right?
It's giggable.
I know. It's not great.
But the Chinese reissue stuff that Vox has been doing for a while now just isn't great. I mean, they're fine. I've used them. But I think to me, and now they're getting expensive. This is the bummer, but I think we've talked about this before, but it's the early 90s, the early to mid 90s reissues that Marshall was building. I believe it was Korg licensed Marshall to build the AC30s, and they're incredible, man. They're good.
Those are way better. So much better. So now I have...
Oh, Jesus.
I have $221. Come on, man. This is my rig. This is for me, man. TS Mini. There's my first drive pedal. So now I've got the two P90 guitar. I've got the Vox amp. I need more mid-range.
Right.
Because I got to get heard. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Rhett, people need to hear my hot licks. Here's one for $45.
I mean, you know.
And guess what? It sounds just like a Tube Screamer, which I like. So now I still have $176 to get another pedal. And I know the pedal that I would want. I'm not getting Mythos because those are too expensive. I know. I'm getting a DM2 Waza.
Oh, man. I know exactly. Look at that. Dude.
There we go.
My drive selection. I can buy a new one. Dude. Wow. Okay. All right. Now that I like. See? That I do like. There you go. Now you're talking.
I mean, that's a pretty good rig. An Epiphone Wilshire, AC15, a drive pedal. You could fudge that. You could.
Yeah. You could get a drive pedal that
you would like.
I don't dislike that rig, to be honest with you. And I'm assuming, does the AC15, does that model have tremolo on it, or is it just the amp? Because I know the AC30 reissues do.
I don't know if the 15 has, let's see. It has tremolo, which I don't, it has reverb.
No, but it's a cool trim. You get trim and reverb, you know, so it's a cool, almost like harmonic trim kind of thing.
Like a bias, sort of.
Yeah, it's not your Fender, like standard Fender sound, which is cool. Mm-hmm. All right, that's a solid rig. You know,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to go in a different direction than you on the drive section. And I'm stuck on. Right now, in the amp, but
for you, I feel like for you, you could get any number of really good, like affordable fuzzes and make it.
Well, actually, I take that back. I know exactly what I'm going to do for the drive. But the amp thing is where I'm stumped.
So what, if you were like going to, you know, have your Rhett rig, like your $1,000 ready to go Rhett Scholl signature setup, What would, like, do you want more volume or do you want more like personality from the amp?
Like, I definitely want more personality from the amp, especially because with this, I'm not going to be able to fill in the gap with several different pedal options.
Yeah.
So I need the amp to do some heavy lifting. Damn, I got excited and I was like, oh no, that's just an empty cabinet.
See, this is the danger of using reverb. You get the old, that old bait and switch sometimes can happen.
Yeah, this is hard. This is hard.
It is hard. I think, again, squeakiest chair in the world. I got a WD-40, this thing. Where are we looking for guitar? Like, what sort of money have you spent?
All right, I'll start with a guitar.
Thus far.
I'll start with a guitar. So let's screen share here. Okay. So here's my thought process. I'm going Telecaster.
Man, you're going big on the guitar.
Well, kind of. So I've set my price limit to, I had it set to $499. Although that's my absolute top. Now, wait a second. There was some I was just looking at. There was one I was looking at a second ago for $350. Where did that go?
Thank you, Jason. I think you might have to get a player series.
Well, so here was my thought. I am going to put my money where my mouth is. When I've done the Telecaster comparisons in the past on my channel.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Here we go. Boom. I've done this exact thing with Telecasters, the five levels of Tele, starting with, you know, the Squire. In fact, this exact Squire, the 50s vibe, classic vibe, and then going all the way up to the Custom Shop. Now, the Custom Shop won because I ended up keeping it. It's a ringer. But the Fender Player Series was always kind of near the bottom for me just because it's kind of hard value for money. I just figured that off the jump, it wouldn't need any modifications or anything. I could get through some gigs with it. But this, I'm going to go with, see if we can find a used one here. Yeah, $28 of them. Because off the jump, these are great. If they've got a decent setup on them, the pickups sound good. They're not mind-boggling by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. They look right. They feel right. So let's see. I mean, Butterscotch, this one's got a Bigsby on it, which is probably a bad idea for a Squire. So let's think about it.
Every chord just goes out of tune. You're constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like the blonde here, the white. 325. Maryville, Tennessee. That's what we're going to go
Maryville.
With. Maryville. So I'm going to write that down. So I've got 325 for the guitar.
Okay. See, now we're talking.
Now
you get a little of that playroom.
Our brains here a little bit. So let me do the math. So I got $675 left to play with. You can still see the screen, right?
Oh, yeah. Back.
All right. So let's go with amp. So the amp is tough because I want to go tube driven.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second.
I mean, are you thinking Blues Junior? Because, I mean, not much else. Everything else is going to be pushing it, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Because, like, maybe. I don't know. Depending on the rig, you don't even have to have pedals.
Let me just see.
Oh, no way.
Hey.
A MIG?
Stop. Let me just try this, okay? Because these retail for, like, $600, $700.
But then you don't have a cabinet.
Dude, I could get a guy. Don't worry about that. I can find a cheap ass cab.
You're waiting for the venue's back line, and they've got like just the crate.
Okay, hold on.
2x12.
Okay, so just for argument's sake, I'm gonna say. So I've got $675. All right, let's just try -550.
Oh, that's you got nothing, $125 dude.
Bucks. Let me find the cheapest 1x12.
You still have to get two pedals.
Don't worry about that. Oh, man. I want someone's ratty, like, beat to shit.
Sort low to high over there on the right and see what
on the right.
Kind of trouble.
Sort low to high. Dude, Okay.
29. Oh, that's a cover. I was about to say.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm thinking, okay? I got $125 left.
You're going to plug in that loud tube amp into like some junky little...
Dude, here's an Eminence BP-122 mounted inside a Line 6 cab for $90. This PV-112 cab. It says converted. What did he convert it to?
It was probably a combo amp that they pulled that... I mean, honestly, that's probably got like a shadow. It's going to open a new tab for it.
Yeah.
It's probably got like a shadow speaker, which I feel like it's going to sound like dog shit. Oh, it just says PV.
Dude, I mean,
that's kind of a vibe. That reminds me of when I was in bands, like before they reissued the Sovtek stuff, like... Everyone I knew was clamoring for these Russian made amps. I had a Sovtek MIG, like all my buddies had a MIG. Most of them had like really shitty cabs. And like we played in basements and like terrible venues. And like that's the stuff we used. So
I have the MIG 50 reissue.
Uh-huh.
It's phenomenal. It's honestly, it's so good. It's really versatile. It's the two channels, they sound very, very different from each other. It's got good clean to edge of breakup, but the overdrive sounds on it are nuts. Again, and I think it retails for like $700 new. Right. So, you know, okay. For the sake of argument, I'm going with this. I'm going with the PV Pacer 112 cab with whatever the hell this speaker is in the back.
It looks like it's heavy enough.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to take a chance that voice coil is going to hold up to the MIG. So I've got $67 left to play with.
What? I mean, what are you looking at? You're looking at...
Well, this is what I was looking at.
Delta Lab.
For...
Oh, Garage Tones.
Yeah, for an overdrive. Sound. This thing, $65. I have one of these as well. I'm telling y'all, I heard about this from Josh Scott. I don't know if he's going to make a video on this series or not on the JHS channel, but...
Isn't that one like an ODR1 or something?
I don't remember exactly
what it is. Oh, no, that's the Open Road visual sound, the Open Road.
This Garage Tone overdrive, this one's $80. Let's see, $65. Someone go buy this. It's legitimately good. They sound amazing. Again, we've all learned that the JHS, when he's talking about something... if he's recommending something, it's because it's good. And I actually paid $65 for mine. Man. And it doesn't suck. So, but I'm thinking with my amp choice, I don't need an overdrive.
Well, I would relent and say you could get a clean boost, but I mean,
well, no, here's what I need.
You're quickly running out of funds, dude.
Hold on. Let's go pedals, fuzz. And we're just going to search. I don't want to see popular fuzz pedals. I want to see CL listings. Sort by price, low to high. Big bucks, no whammies. I can build my own fuzz. hold on. Okay, let's refine this a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, here we go.
Fabtone, Dan Electro Fabtone, that you could get two pedals for that.
Or this Super Tone. Yeah, the Super Fuzz. These are really good. They sound really good. They're plastic enclosure.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah. All right. So
the Behringer.
Take my $67, subtract $22.50. I've got $44 left to play with.
I'm just saying something. I'm just going to say this. My expensive rig is going to kill.
Okay. Boom. This is what I'm going with. I have $44.50 left.
I mean, those are really good.
Dude, they're really good. I'm going to negotiate a dollar off of this $45 one here, and I'm going to have $1.50 or 50 cents or whatever the difference is left over. That's my rig.
Okay. So I had the Wilshire, I had the AC15. I had the TS Mini and the Waza delay pedal, and then you went. You run down your rig again.
I had the Squire Telecaster, okay, the classic vibe for 325. I had the I went away with it, but the MiG 50 for whatever that used one was, I can't remember. The gnarliest, shittiest 112 cab you've ever seen and heard. That was a combo at one time, for like under 100, and then a Behringer Fuzz and a Behringer Vintage Delay and or Analog Delay, and I have a dollar left over.
Man, 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 man. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I think mine's better.
No, man. The MiG 50 is the power move on mine. The MiG 50 with the shitty cab. I mean, the cab is definitely a risk, but
maybe there's a backline.
Maybe there's backline. Maybe I'd, you know, save a week's wages and get another cab. Whatever. That's just a starter cab, man. That's, I gotta think about it. Like, that's just to get me through the gig. Eventually, I'm gonna get, you know, something else.
Right. Oh man. Well, so while you've been shopping, I've been shopping.
Oh, I'm gonna go shopping.
I've been laying out this rig.
All right. So now we're in the 10,000 category.
We're in the $10,000 redo. So I have found, it's gonna be a lot of screen sharing here.
Okay.
Pow. Okay.
Ooh.
Murphy Lab 63 SG Special Ultralight. The Murphy Lab stuff from Gibson Custom Shop is so incredible. I'm a complete convert. No one's paying me. I spent all that money on this thing. I bought that. No one gave it to me. But this guitar would be just an absolute ripper. Like, what can't you do with this?
Yeah, so, that's and I love the color.
Polaris white, aged. It's got a hard case. I mean, as it should, but $4,200. Okay. So there's my guitar. Easy.
Dude. So actually on that, Rick has one of those in cherry.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it's that exact model, Murphy Lab and everything. And out of all the guitars and all the stuff he's got over there at that studio, that is my, that one and his original special that his signature is based off. Those are my two favorite guitars he owns.
Right. I think the special is such a, like, incredible sounding guitar. I mean, it's the Pete Townsend thing, but for me, it was the Les Paul special. But that's like the Weezer, like the first Weezer record guitar. Like, all the real heavy guitar sounds that I associate with that record were the two P90 special that Rick Ocasek let the guys use for that first Weezer record.
Yep.
I love that record. It's so, like, if you listen to the guitar sounds, it's so heavy.
Mm, yeah.
Like these pop songs. But yeah, that guitar would just be fantastic. I found my amp, which is going to be no surprise here.
Yeah.
Studio Sig, Two Rock Studio Signature in blonde, $3,399. So again, like we've burned up a lot of the money, but I still have $2,400 that I can spend on some pedals. So I think this is like the perfect like starting point for any like pedal rig here. The Studio Sig is amazing. It has, have you played one of these?
Yeah, I did in London. I actually gigged one.
Right.
I borrowed Luke Bowman's and it was, mm-hmm, that was the first time I actually ever really played a Two Rock in a real life situation. And that was the beginning of me going like, okay, I think I get this. I get the Two Rock thing.
There's something happening.
Yeah.
These things have like a gain structure switch on the back, which is really cool because you can make it be really clean if you want or just super gnarly. So, I mean, like, I don't know. It's, I really like the one that I have. It's amazing. So there's that. I think that's pretty set. Now, for the pedals, you're going to hate me, but I got to, right? Vintage.
Why are you going vintage? No, that's so dumb.
Why
are you
dumb?
Going vintage for a Tube Screamer? They're the same thing. That doesn't sound any different.
This isn't a Tube Screamer. This is a Maxon Overdrive OD808.
Okay, all right, whatever. I'm so sorry. It's a Maxon Overdrive OD808.
I could pick something different.
I just think that's like,
is that a cop out? Should I not have
that's
that?
That's a cop out. I think you can do better than that. If, I mean, you can, it's fine if you want to put a tube screamer on there, but just get a $100, you know, get the plumes or whatever. I mean, that's a it's a better tube screamer than most, I think, right? Or get the JHS one. What is that one? The Bonsai? Yeah.
I would rather have the Bonsai.
I just don't understand the vintage tube screamer thing. I think that's, I'm sorry, I think it's dumb. Paying money for a pedal.
I'm just trying to use this money, dude.
Yeah, but don't like, I think your money, if you're going to spend $1,300 on a pedal, you could come up with a much cooler answer than a vintage 808.
Okay. Well, I have $1,400. Okay. My pedal I've already picked. So, okay, fine.
Oh, dude.
All right. Well, exactly, help me shop here. Look at my screen. So
you're looking for a drive.
Yeah. I don't want the Sun Lion.
Wait a second. Why? So you're going to be using the amp drive, right? You're going to be pushing the amp a little bit.
The Studio Sig does not have that much drive.
So you're going to set it kind of edge of breakup-ish thing.
It gets kind of there, but dude, that amp doesn't get that much gain.
$1,300 for a King of Tone?
But a 2005 Sun Lion.
No. Above the View 4, the new one. You see that? Next to the KTR.
The King of Tone. I didn't even see
it. Oh, my God.
Ouch. You know.
Don't do that. Nobody buy that.
Here's another one. Man.
I thought about this
Zen Drive, maybe. But look at all these KTRs, man.
That's insane, dude. I sold my KTR for $275.
You fucked up.
I did. I fucked up. That's so stupid. Why would you? Is that pedal still in production? The KTR?
Yeah. Yeah, if you know people at stores, like, they'll get them and you can buy them new for like $259, like all
that's
day
the
long.
Thing, man. With things like the KTR, the Klon, I understand, okay? There's a finite number of them. There's a market. But something like the King of Tone or the KTR, where all you have to do is be on a wait list or, dude.
Right.
That's so dumb. That's dumb. Do not buy a pedal that is currently made in production for $1,300.
I think this is what I would want.
Oh, those are cool.
The BJFE Honeybee Overdrive Deluxe, which I've not even.
Or the tube driver next to it could be cool.
I'm not a fan of tube drivers. They're just so hissy. Mm. Cause every time I've ever used one, you plug them in, you turn them on, and it's just, you know,
yeah,
and it's just too much. Especially if I'm going to be rocking P90s and the delay that I chose too. But
I'm so mad about that fucking KTR, my God. And the King of Tone.
It's the way it goes. It's the way it goes.
Let's wait, so what that. do you pick the Honeybee? Is that what you went with?
I think the Honeybee is pretty sick cause The Honeybee, for those that don't know, is kind of like inspired by cranked Supro amps.
Yep.
Have you ever played a Honeybee, like the standalone?
No.
Man, no. It's a really good circuit. It's really good. And I don't know what this other switch does. Global boost. Done. Overdrive boost thing. It's like handwritten. It's got foam in the back. Oh, there's a dog. Is that a dog or a pig? What is that? It's a pig. And then a flower pot. Handmade in Sweden. That's pretty rad. So we'll go with that. Honestly, this frees up some budget for my delay, but you'll like my delay. You'll be cool with this. So there's the delay choice I made. A 1980s Deluxe Memory Man.
Yeah. Nice.
$1,000. It's nice. Got the cord wired in, so it's going to probably hiss. But, man, what a sound. But, you know, that frees up like another, like $300 or $400 for me. So.
Yeah, I just looked at my guitar and amp selection, and that's my entire budget. So I need to kind of
Your entire budget? You went all in.
Almost. It's almost my entire budget. Not all, but almost.
But, man, I think the Deluxe Memory... $402 left. So I guess that means I can buy like one more thing, right? Does that mean I can add to the...
you could get a cool pedal or a couple pedals in there.
Oh, wait. Okay, if I have $400, I think this might bother you, but I think I got to have a wah.
No, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I'm not anti-wah. You never talk
about wahs.
You know, and I need to get it. I have a really great wah. I have the jam pedals, the Waco. And I need to pull it out and like get some wah chops because it is something you have to like practice with. You got to It, you got to get that thing together, you know?
It is. I genuinely love wah. That was like the first, one of the first pedals I got. And I remember I just practiced. I probably drove my parents yeah. insane. A snakeskin wah.
Wow.
How about we go with this? I've heard the Flatley, this guy makes a lot of wahs, and he does like the oil slick dipped thing.
Okay.
I've actually heard these wahs are really, really great. So I'll use that. $389. I have enough cash left over to buy you and I a drink at the gig.
Nice.
So there we go.
All right.
Wah, BJFE, Drive, Memory Man, Custom Shop, Murphy Lab, SG Special, and a Two Rock Studio Sig. What a rig!
Okay. All right. I'm making some adjustments here. God, these are expensive. Okay.
Isn't it fun spending money that, you're not really spending money. Like fake spending money.
Spending real money is fun too, to be honest with you.
It is.
It is fun. It's a rush, man. Can't quit. All right. Let's start with my guitar selection here.
Oh, I'm excited.
So, this is one of the things I had to change, but stayed in the same family. I'm going to go Novo, Saris T. Okay.
So discontinued.
My Saris T is arguably the best sounding guitar that I have, just in terms of just pure sound. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Incredibly versatile. I love this color, the ice blue metallic. I always love what they did with those. The only difference is I don't think this one has the Amalfitanos in it, which mine does.
Probably not. 2023, definitely not.
Yeah, it's a little heavier than mine. Mine is 6.3 pounds, but you know, whatever. I don't want to brag, but it's whole whatever, how much lighter that is. Great guitar, super reliable. Take that to any gig, anywhere in the world. And mine has been like unbelievably stable. Like the neck on it does not move, which is not true of all guitars, not even all Novos. My Solus, which is one that Dennis built, for some reason, the neck, that piece of wood in the neck just is all over the place.
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, just comes down to the piece of wood. So that's $34.99. I might have to make some adjustments here as well. So I've got 6,500 left over.
Okay.
All right. So let's go with my amp selection here.
I'm excited for this.
Boom.
Oh, you're going.
Basically the same amp that I have, but this is the 410 cab and it's brown suede. Mine's green suede.
Oh, a 410. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The 410's cool. I bet it would sound great with this amp. Dude, this amp is unbelievable. I mean, you've played them. Mm-hmm. It's loud as hell, but it's not painful. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
it's just really
powerful,
wide sounding. Like there's just a lot of information coming out of the amp, but it, even though it's physically loud, it's not like, you know, 100-watt Marshall is painful. An AC 30 like cranked up and pushed sounds amazing, but it's painful. This is not that way. Even when you're pushing it with a fuzz or, you know, some overdrive or whatever, it's yeah, man, unbelievable amp.
It's beautiful with the brown suede and the wheat grill.
Yeah, it's
great.
It's so nice. And it's got the effects loop, which, let's see, I've got...
You've got $1,001 left.
Yeah. So, all right. This is what I'm going to have to shift here because I'm going to stay with that guitar and amp combo. My next choice was going to be this.
Ooh.
But I'm over budget.
Yeah. You might have to go Boss Space Echo.
Which is fine.
They're great. They're great.
It's pedals. Really good. It's really good. So I think it's the 202.
RE202, yeah. And they're great. I have one.
I do too. I have a real one. It's downstairs. And I have the pedal, and the pedal sounds amazing. Honestly, I think the pedal's probably better for gigging.
Oh, but yeah.
You just, you know, it's not as much of a flex as having the real thing on your amp.
Find you a cheap one here, and then you'll get as much money as you can for your
So I got $1,000 left.
You got $1,000, $279.
Okay. Because, yeah, you can just do so much with this pedal. Put it in the effects loop of the two rock there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll do this one right here, $279. So,
okay. So 1,000? Then you have $722 left.
Okay. All right. All right. So I've got great guitar, great amp. I can get the amp set to a nice edge of breakup tone, and I've got a great delay sound. The amp has a great reverb, and there's a nice spring reverb sound in the boss. So I'm covered on my reverb, I think.
I hope.
I want to have a fuzz.
Man.
Oh, I know what I want.
I mean, there's with fuzz, the world's your oyster.
Okay. This is what I want. Strummer Super Fuzz. Get it brand new, $200. This is fantastic. This is one of my favorite fuzz pedals. I bought it 2 years ago now, and it has basically stayed on my board ever since. Really great octave fuzz sound. You can turn the octave off, just get a straight fuzz sound, and it sounds great in front of the two rocks. So there's my fuzz. So now what I'm at, 700 minus 200?
Yeah, you have 500-ish bucks.
Dude, <See? laughs> this is easy. Okay.
I can you find one for that?
Yeah, dude. They're $400. Yeah.
Man, I just didn't think you would be able to find a chroma console.
Yeah. And this is what I'm doing here. So I'm doing the fuzz and I'm doing the chroma console because the chroma console has overdrive. It's got its own kind of fuzz sound. Mm. It's got all the modulation you would want. It's got a few different delay options and reverb options, and it's got some really killer like compression, a cassette, like broken cassette sound, some cool envelope sounds. Like,
right,
this thing is wild.
Well, okay,
so it's 400 and then I don't know, 200 or whatever it is left over for,
yeah, you'd have like $100. So I'd say that's,
I'll buy a round of drinks or whatever at the gig.
Shots.
So to recap, I've got the Novo Saris T in ice blue metallic. I've got the two rock classic reverb 100 watt head with the matching 410 cab in brown suede. I've got the Roland RE202 space echo delay pedal, which is going to go in the effects loop of the two rock.
Easy.
And then I've got a Strummer Super Fuzz and a chroma console.
Does that Strummer, does it clean up?
Yeah, and it does the cool thing. I mean, it not super well, but it does the really fun, like, ring modulation-y kind of thing with octave fuzz that happens. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That is a very Rhett rig.
Yeah.
You know.
$10,000.
It's more of a, yours is more of a pain to move.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, way louder than yours.
That Studio Sig, though, like, it's shocking how loud it is.
35 watts?
35 watts. And even though it's a little, it's their smallest combo. It's tiny. It still is, like, fills up a room. When we were getting ready for NAMM, we borrowed one from Two Rock, and the guys from Third Man were, like, across the aisle from us, and we were just shooting some content before the show opened, and they were like, is that how loud you're going to be? I'm like, no. But then the show started and we didn't adjust the volume and you couldn't hear it at all.
There was no, I didn't see any sound police at NAMM this year.
They showed up like the last day. Not for us, but the dudes behind us, they were just blown it out. They had just so many players coming by, and they were like, you know, it's loud when the sound from behind the amps is like almost not deafening, but just like, oh, okay.
In front of the speakers is that.
But
overall, I think we got two really solid rigs here. The $1,000 rig, I would feel good about taking out and playing a show with.
Oh yeah. Easy.
I mean, I think that's kind of the point of the thought exercise is you don't need to spend $10,000 to get a good, solid giggable rig that's going to be reliable. It's going to sound good. I mean, my cab might not be reliable if I'm honest with you, based off the looks of it.
Well, but it'll work. Maybe.
Maybe.
There is nothing more deflating than taking an amp that you know sounds good and plugging it into a cab that just totally ruins it. But I think this is fun. I think doing these sort of things is fun. So in the comment section, let us know what you would pick in each budget range, because I like seeing what you guys would throw together.
Dude, we could actually, because we, with the exception of the SG, and there's a couple of things that we don't have, well, in that cab. But everything else, like, we could actually do this. We could actually put these two rigs together between what you have and what I have.
Yeah.
We could do this and like make a video about it.
Yeah. I have a lot of this stuff, which is funny. I mean, like, I didn't want to pick stuff that I was so familiar with, but like, you have to have something that you're at least like,
well, have to know what you're getting. You have to, if you're going to, like, the idea of this thought exercise is something that you would take to a gig, and it kind of is, especially the $1,000 rig. It's cool because it makes you think about, like, okay, what are the bare necessities? Like, what do I need to sound like me, to do what I need to do on the show? Mm-hmm. That's actually kind of a cool thing because it can sort of help you sort of weed out some of the stuff that might be more of a distraction or, you know, might not be adding to your sound as much. Like, you might not need four different overdrives on your pedal board or three different reverbs or whatever it is. You might just need, you know, something a little smaller, more compact and more reliable.
I think that so often we definitely get lost in like all the sounds that are achievable and not the sounds we actually use. A good example, I was at, we can wrap it up after this, but I was at a guitar event at a store and a guy walked up wanting to talk about pedals. And he's like, here, I brought my pedal board. And he's like a list of everything. And he had like a printout of all the pedals in like Signal Path on his pedal board. And he had two pieces of like notebook paper stapled with everything like on his board. And it was like 40 pedals or something. It was insane.
What?
And like, he had so many gain pedals and all these fuzz pedals. And I was like, what, why do you need all this? He just loved it, which is great. But also, like, I think that can stifle a lot of creativity.
Yeah. Don't let us, you know, we're not here to, what do people say? Like, yuck anybody's yum or whatever. If that's what you like about playing guitar and it gets you excited, it's like having all of the different stuff and a giant pedal board and, dude, do it. By all means, go for it. Like, don't, a friend of mine here in Atlanta is having XTS in Nashville build a pretty sizable like board. And you know what? Like, it's not my thing, but for him, it's the first time he's ever had like a real board, I think, a real rig, and he couldn't be happier with it. So, dude, by all means, it's like, I look at it and I'd say like, I could cut that thing down by into a third of the size of what it is, but that's what makes everybody special. We're all snowflakes and raindrops, just, you know, doing our own thing.
I see that stuff and I think about, man, I'd have to move that.
Like, well, he plays at home. So it's like, okay, it's going to go in his music room and he's got a lot of really great amps and really great gear. So it's going to be kind of the centerpiece and everything's going to stay patched in. So it actually makes sense. Like,
okay,
they had, I think they built this kind of like interface thing for him. So he'll be able to kind of switch through his amps and it's a way for him after work. He's got a pretty insane gig. So he can like go home and just turn up a couple of vintage amps and play loud as shit and just kind of get it out. So
sweet.
It makes sense. I get it too.
Well,
what do you call that volume therapy?
Yes. Yes. Your Thursday volume therapy.
Let us know in the comments if you want to see an actual video of us piecing together these rigs. I think we could do it with a few. We'd have to get our hands on like that Murphy Lab SG. We have to try and get our hands on or an equivalent, like maybe just your Les Paul.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of potential. I think the inexpensive amps is the hard thing for me because I only have everything else would be a little bit over budget. Like a deluxe reverb now is like kind of expensive.
They're kind of, that's what I was going to say too for the $1,000 rig, and you can't get them.
Yeah.
Even the Princetons. I started looking at a Princeton and you can't, it's just hard to find. So we'd have to find like an AC-15.
Right.
and just get some shitty. I mean, maybe I'll just buy that cab on Reverb, have them ship it out.
Dude, undoubtedly, we could find all sorts of stuff on Marketplace.
Or, yeah, or yeah,
Craigslist.
Dude.
Well, do you have a shill this week?
I do. I do.
Okay.
Do you?
I do. Boy, do I ever. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I brought the Brazilian.
Ooh.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, I did not intend on buying one of these guitars, and it just absolutely knocked my socks off. So I was at Wildwood, and just trying stuff. I was killing time before my flight, and John, one of the guys working there, walked this into the room. I was just playing stuff, and he's like, "You should really try this." And it's just, it's insane. It's funny because it has almost the same color as my other.
It looks R9. Very similar.
Yeah. My other R9 has really wide, like ribbon-like flame, and is kind of bald on one side, but it weighs like 8.15 pounds, so it's really light.
Yeah,
the aging is incredible. I love that they like. It's kind of hard to see, but it's all dark. You know, it does. You know, sometimes it looks just like, you know, the raw mahogany.
Uh huh.
They put some stain on it to make it look all grody. I did change a few things, but. All in all, I'm just completely floored by this guitar. So this is one of 50 in this color. But I changed the pickup covers because the pickup covers on it were like super smoky. Like they just were like gray. And it looked kind of funny. So I got these from Crazy Parts over in Germany. And I changed the tailpiece because it was the same. It just looked like gray and not all like beat up. And these, this is like a replica and all the corners are like rounded off.
Nice.
Which it looks like, you know, a real... I had been at a guitar show and I'd been at Carter and I was taking pictures of all the real stuff and I was like, oh no, that looks right. So it's crazy. And it's super resonant. You're going to love it. So
what are you doing with the other R9?
I'm not allowed to sell it. I asked Morgan and it is a great guitar, but this one, it smokes every other Les Paul, which is like wild to say. But I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to sell some other things.
Yeah.
And it pains me, but this was, you know, this is a big purchase. So, yeah. But this was my 40th birthday present to myself.
But you don't turn 40 for what, another 8 months?
Yeah, in October. But like, okay. You know, it was at the store, and like the day after I got home, somebody had made an appointment to play it, and didn't buy it, and I was like, well, I guess I'll just get it.
That's awesome, man. It's beautiful. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. It's a big thing, man. Like when you find there are certain things that you get. That are like my Les Paul, my R9 was special. You know, like it's, you know, some gear comes and goes, but some things are really special and you just, you hold on to them. Yeah. I don't think I would ever sell my R9 either. Even if I found a better one, I think I would keep it just because the story of like, you know, one of my favorite players helped me pick that out, Tim Pierce, and we were at Norm's and, that was unfortunately when Norm was sick, so he wasn't at the shop, but I got to talk to him on the phone and work a deal and everything. And it's a big deal. Big deal.
For sure.
Cool. Well, I have a guitar too. It's not as expensive or nice as your guitar, but it's still really rad.
It may be as nice.
Nah, it's not as nice, but it's still really rad. So I have been looking for, I've been kind of wanting a big jazz box for a while, not to play jazz on because I can't. But I've been getting more interested in like the funk stuff, the meter stuff, thanks to Ella Feingold and what she's posting on Instagram and everything. If you don't follow Ella, you absolutely should. She's amazing. But I was at Sweetwater working on a project and was just kind of wandering around the store and saw this sitting on the wall and picked it up and played it through a Princeton and just fell in love with it. It's so big, it will not fit in the frame. Here we go.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is an Epiphone Zephyr 150th anniversary Zephyr Deluxe Regent, really cool reissue of a. I admittedly don't know much about these guitars. I'm not really a jazz guy, but it's super cool, man. It's got these humbuckers in it. I don't even know if you could swap those out, like what you'd swap them out for, but
those are made just like the original mini humbuckers, which were an Epiphone thing.
Yeah.
The very first Sheratons had the Zephyrs. It's a weird kind of, it's like a box. And then the mounting apparatus.
It just looks cool, man. And these knobs, like,
I love those knobs.
They're so cool. It's just such a looker. And I've been playing it nonstop because it's mostly, I mean, it's as acoustic as it is electric. Like, you can hear. Kind of has that archtop hollow body mid-rangey thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, got this from Sweetwater. I did not pay for it because I'm going to be making some content with it. But yeah, it's like that meter-y funk thing. I want to put flats on it. It plays really, really well out of the box. The pickups sound good. And it was $1,000. They had it listed for $1,000 because it was a demo deal.
Yeah.
So, the fit and finish on it is great. I haven't found any flaws anywhere in the finish or any. I mean, there is one slight little nick in the polyurethane top coat there next to the nut, but otherwise, it's great.
We'll have to have an episode about, like, the fact that these budget brands are just, I don't know, they're like the middle ground of guitar prices are, like, it's kind of weird because I feel like all the stuff that's like sub $1,500 is like really good. And then all the stuff that's like way high is like insanely good. And the middle stuff is still good, but like it's getting harder to choose to get that when you could get like that guitar.
But the cool thing about this particular thing is with Strats and Teles and Les Pauls, there's so many different levels of them that you can kind of pick what budget you want and find something. But if you're looking for something like this, there's not a lot out there as far as I know, other than trying to find an original one, which can be very, very expensive. So I think it's really cool that Epiphone is bringing these models back. Yeah. And it's like the sweet spot of that law of diminishing returns, where $1,000 is not cheap, but to get much better than this, you've got to spend significantly more money and you're not getting that much better.
Yeah. If
that
makes sense. Did it come with a case?
It did. But I flew home with it. So I got an SKB flight case and I left the Epiphone case at Sweetwater. So it'll go to, they said they put it in like the tech department for something. I don't know, but it comes with a nice hard shell case and it's great, man.
Love it. Love guitars. Guitars are fun.
They are fun. Well,
awesome.
That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you want to support the show, check out the links to the Patreon down below. And subscribe while you're down there. And let us know what you thought about today's episode. If you want to see more of these duo, you know, old school episodes, let us know. And give us some topic suggestions as well.
Let's do it. All right.
Cool.
Bye.
See y'all.